What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. It's another very, very busy news day. We've got a lot to get through before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, so let's get right on into it. And today is the tragic anniversary of the death of Rachel Corrie. Now, Rachel Corrie was a pro-Palestinian protester. She was over in Israel trying to help prevent Israel demolishing Palestinian homes when she was run over by a bulldozer. Israel is insisting it was an accident, that the bulldozer operator couldn't see her. But he then backed up over her again. And I've sat in the same model bulldozer. The idea that he couldn't see what he was doing is kind of ridiculous here. Before we get into the rest of the news here, I do want to remind everybody that there is a national march on Washington, D.C. this coming Saturday, March 18th. And this will take place at 1 o'clock. In front of the White House, and obviously look out for agent provocateurs, you know, and if any of the D.C. cops offer you a free tour of anything, turn them down. Just a little bit of advice there here. All righty, let's get on back to the banking crisis, which is it's going back and forth, and it's hard to see where it's really going to go. But there's an interesting little article that came on out from Women's Systems about how the Biden administration basically took over the FDIC. In fact, it's described as a hostile takeover, and they probably put in a lot of, you know, diversity people in there who may not have known what they were doing. And then, of course, here we are a year later. The FDIC is bailing out banks with a significant number of Chinese venture capital accounts. And that's a big Why are the American people going to be paid to make good on Chinese investments? And a little bit of a head scratcher there. Now, they're talking about, what's going to be going on here with the FDIC having to pay out all this money. And they're saying, well, they're going to cover this by raising the FDIC insurance premiums on the banks. And a lot of these are going to apply to community banks who are not part of the problem. And those community banks will have to pass those increased FDIC fees onto their customers, meaning us. So, again, one way or the other, we, the people, get to pay for the mess, for the mismanagement, and for the corruption here. Now, a former chairman of the FDIC warned that there will probably be more bank failures in the United States following the failure of Silicon Valley Bank, and said it's essentially a cleanup process. And the Daily Caller reports that William Isaac gave his warning on Neil Cavuto's show on Fox News, saying there's probably going to be more failures along the way. The problem is we have is the same one we had back in the 1970s, when the government was out of control with its fiscal policies, its monetary policies, inflation set in, and the banks were just not ready for that. And neither were the thrifts. And they lost some 5,000 banks during that period. It was a really ugly time here. We're not going to lose 5,000 banks this time, we hope, because there's only about 4,500 banks today. You know, individual banking companies, and they'll have branches all over, but there's only 4,500 of them here. Now, Senator Ted Cruz is slamming the Biden administration's bailout of Silicon Valley Bank this week, warning it will incentivize future bad behavior from banks, which is the same thing I've been saying for the last several days here. If the banks, you know, don't have to worry about losses and going out of business, because it's always going to be covered by the people, then they can engage in more profitable but riskier investments. And if they make money, well, they give themselves bonuses. And if they lose money, the losses are transferred onto the people. And as I've said before, this is the fascist economic model. Okay, now, there is a former Treasury official. And let me see if I can get that name. Oh, it's Paul Craig Roberts was out there, and he was being interviewed by Russia Today. And he said the U.S. banking crisis poses a global threat. And again, we have precedents for that going back to the 2008 mortgage-backed security meltdown, which should have been contained within the U.S. banking system, but in fact spread to many countries in Europe and around the world. And everybody was scrambling to try and get things, you know, back up and running here. All righty. Let's see. The FDIC is now demanding that Signature Bank buyers stop all crypto business. Okay. And they're basically saying that, you know, you have to agree to give up all cryptocurrency business at the bank. And of course, you know, the Federal Reserve and the paper money people, they don't like crypto anyway. They want to give you their version of the crypto, which is going to come with a tremendous number of strings attached to it. Now, we mentioned earlier how Silicon Valley Bank had given almost $80 billion, with a B, to Black Lives Matter. And now it's come out that four other banks gave more than $60 billion to Black Lives Matter-related causes over the last few years. This is not exactly something that their stockholders are going to be happy to hear about. Now, Silicon Valley Bank has a brand new CEO. The old one was fired. And the new CEO is Tim Mayopoulos. And again, we're wondering, are these people really qualified to be doing what they're doing? Because Mayopoulos was fired as general counsel of Bank of America in 2008 in the midst of the mortgage-backed security meltdown. He was literally escorted out of the building. And when they escort you out, there is something really major going on there. Now, over at First Republic Bank, a lot of people were thinking it was going to be the next domino to fall. But there has been a huge group of banks that are still relatively sound. They are putting $20 billion of their own cash into First Republic. When news of that broke, stock in First Republic Bank jumped. Boy, that would have been a good chance to have some inside information, make a fast buck here. And it sounds like a wonderful thing to do. But many years ago, I was in a movie called The Day the Bubble Burst, based on the book of the same name by William Hupt, who had been on the floor of the stock exchange in 1929 when it all came apart. And as part of getting ready to be in the movie, did a lot of study about the events of that day. And, you know, when things started really dropping, the House of Morgan came on in and plunged a whole bunch of their money into the stock market to try and stop the drop. Unfortunately, it did not work here. All righty. So we've heard the expression before, too big to fail. And maybe that doesn't exist anymore. Do you remember when you were growing up how everybody would talk about the Swiss banks, that when wealthy people would stash their money in the Swiss banks because they're strong and private? Well, the second largest bank in Switzerland is on the edge of collapse. And of course, we're talking about Credit Suisse. And you know, there's been about $50 billion in fresh liquidity from the Swiss National Bank, and they put it in there. May not be stopping the drop. The charts are still going down, and so like the House of Morgan's failed effort may not be working. Now, meanwhile, the U.S. Treasury has announced it is reviewing the United States' financial exposure to Credit Suisse as the Swiss banking giant's stock plummeted. If Credit Suisse goes down, there's going to be a lot of collateral damage because Credit Suisse is linked to banks all over the world. They're involved in companies and governments all over the world, and things could get really, really ugly here. So anyway, Credit Suisse, at least for the moment, is holding together because they borrowed $54 billion from the Swiss National Bank to, quote, preemptively strengthen liquidity. In other words, they borrowed some money to have on hand for when people knock on the door and say, can I have my deposit back here? Now, Christine Lagarde has done something a little weird, okay? I mean, you've got Credit Suisse fighting for its life, and all of a sudden, she has hiked the basis points by 50. That's a huge, huge jump. And people are very puzzled about it because every rate hike by the European Central Bank makes keeping deposits at the bank that much more difficult. And a lot of people are pointing to what Christine Lagarde has done and say, yeah, this may be a deliberate takedown of the banking system to bring about the one world currency, the one world bank, and the new world order, so forth and so on. Now, Barney Frank has been taking a little bit of heat because he was on the board of directors of the failed Signature Bank. And, of course, he was part of the Dodd-Frank bill that piled regulations on banks in the wake of the 2008 meltdown. And he says he's chagrined over Signature's closing because obviously people will say, oh, hey, mister, you told everybody else how to run a bank, and the bank you were helping to run failed. And he basically said, you know, I didn't want to be a lobbyist, but I needed a job. I needed to make some money. And so he was there on Signature's board of directors. Okay, now getting into other political news, this whole Chinese money corruption story is beginning to really come apart. And apparently, there was talk yesterday of an unknown Biden who was getting some of this money, and it turns out to be Holly Biden. Okay, this is Beau Biden's widow and Hunter Biden's ex-lover, and she got $35,000 in 2017 from this $3 million deal that originated with the Chinese State Energy Hong Kong Limited, a firm affiliated with CEFC China Energy. Okay, and it looks like this Biden family associate, John Rob Walker, got a $3 million wire from the Chinese and then started making payments to Biden's small chunks every month to try and avoid detection. And Representative Comer is now saying that there may be as many seven Biden members, family members, who were caught up in this corruption here. Now, remember FTX, which should have woken everybody up and said, we got to take a closer look at this. It turns out that Sam Bankman-Fried, I like to call him, secretly transferred $2.2 billion from FTX to his personal account, and five members of his inner circle took an additional $1 billion just before the crypto exchange collapsed. This has been found in bankruptcy court filings. Now, John Ray, who has been appointed the chief executive of FTX after the Chapter 11 bankruptcy, is in charge of locating cryptocurrency and other assets in order to return it to the millions of FTX customers whose accounts have been frozen since the bankruptcy. And now they're discovering that Sam Bankman-Fried just, you know, put a bunch of it in his pocket and tried to get away with that here. All right, now, Geraldo Rivera, he's been in journalism for like 50 years, and he's still not getting what's going on. And Geraldo still doesn't get it, and maybe he doesn't want to get it. This is according to Michael Caputo. And basically, Geraldo came on out saying, well, you know, what have you really got about Hunter Biden? I mean, you know, the laptop is so he had a gun violation. And yes, he's a crackhead. And yes, he was consorting with hookers. But there really isn't much about that. Over at the Federalist, editor-in-chief Molly Hemingway actually put up multiple crimes that have occurred, and Geraldo probably got more than he bargained for. And Hemingway tweeted out, setting aside the gun crimes, the prostitution crimes, the drug crimes, the tax crimes, the bribery receipts, foreign agent shenanigans, money laundering, pay-for-play, and kid glove treatment from the corrupt and politicized FBI and Department of Justice, there isn't much that you know we can tarnish Hunter Biden with here. All right, it does seem our gerontocracy is having problems. We all know about Biden's mental deterioration, and we know about Feinstein, who announced her retirement, then promptly forgot she'd done that. And some of her staffers are saying she no longer recognizes people that she's known for years. And so Diane, you know, competency test there. And now we're getting word regarding Fetterman. And, you know, the official story is that he is suffering depression and he's in the hospital for in-hospital treatment. And now they're saying that he's probably going to be in the hospital for another 2 weeks while the doctors try and get his medication exactly right. And frankly, I am smelling a cover story. I think Fetterman is in far worse shape. And even before this recent episode, his previous stroke had put him into a terrible situation where he literally could not understand people talking to him on the floor of the Congress. Kind of hard to conduct the government's business when you're not able to communicate here. Now, getting on to corporate media, attention, Geraldo Rivera, trust in media is down in the sewer. The majority of Americans now believe the corporate media intends to mislead, misinform, or persuade the public, sell them on a new president, sell them on a new war, sell them on a new tax. And, you know, it's a rough time for the fake news. And so apparently the U.S. ranks dead last among 46 countries in a recent study on trust in media. So that means the media is losing the war for the minds of America. And I think that's a really good thing here. All right, let's get into COVID now. There's a lot going on there. Earlier in the week, we were talking about how there was this scandal about double billing, that the U.S. government may have been billed twice for some of the work being done at the Wuhan lab. And, of course, the takeaway from that is, yes, the work being done at the Wuhan lab was financed and directed from here in the United States of America. But now attention is becoming focused on the Echo Health Alliance. And Echo Health Alliance is this New York City-based nonprofit that gets its money from NIH and CDC and a lot of other places here and then hands out, you know, these contracts to other countries. And it looks like Echo Health Alliance is the one who submitted the duplicate bills to the U.S. government. So they're raking the dough in over there. Meanwhile, over in Europe, Pfizer wants the European Union to keep paying for unused COVID vaccines. And Pfizer has offered to extend its COVID-19 vaccine contract with the EU while scaling back deliveries, but still expects the bloc to pay billions of euros for the unused doses amid a major supply glut in some countries. And the offer prompted outrage from a number of member states who said the deal would serve the interests of Big Pharma rather than their own citizens. And Big Pharma is saying, yeah, that's what we're trying to do here. Okay, let's get into the international news. Things continue to get really ugly there. And I fear we are on the third repeat of this pattern where the government gets our economy and our nation into a real mess, and then they get into a major war to distract us all from it or to be able to blame the war. Yes, the times are tough, but it's the war, you know. We've got a war to fight here. So as our economy continues to implode, the war drums are beating louder for both Russia and China. And yesterday, a top Russian official claimed that the U.S. is already directly involved in fighting the war in Ukraine. And this is based on the fact that the U.S. drone that was knocked out of the sky or fell out of the sky over international waters was feeding data to the Ukrainians. And, yeah, that's a pretty much a giveaway involvement there. Now, getting on back to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline sabotage, there is an article out of Aleppo News asking, who is Jake Sullivan, the man who assembled the Dream Team to destroy Nord Stream? And they basically go about how in early 2022, the CIA told Sullivan they knew how to blow up the pipelines. The group decided to keep the risky plot on a hush. Congress was not informed. U.S. military and intelligence operatives did their best to conceal Washington's role in the sabotage out of concern it would be a foreign policy nightmare. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? The preacher man wags his head while the rich man turns away.
And welcome back to our show here. And, of course, the White House is trying to deflect blame for the destruction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline with this story that rogue Ukrainians sailed on out there on this yacht called the Andromeda. And, you know, they went on down and blew up the pipeline. Turns out there's a major flaw with that story. Where the pipeline was destroyed was about 240, 250 feet deep, and took the divers a long time to rig those explosives. Now, that means they would have a decompression chamber able to hold two people or two one-person decompression chambers in order that the divers not die from having done this. And the rule of thumb for divers is one day per 100 feet plus an extra day just to be on the safe side, because it's really high pressure down there. In looking at the layout of the Andromeda itself, there is no room for a decompression chamber to be put on that yacht. And so the story is a complete fiction. Okay, story coming on out of Information Liberation. Quoting the Kiev Independent, which is a Western-backed pro-Ukraine propaganda outlet, they released a rather honest article yesterday detailing the bleak outlook for Ukrainian troops in Bakhmut. And they're saying basically they're running out of ammunition. They don't have ammunition. The Russians have plenty. And they interviewed this one soldier, and Volodymyr, an infantryman from the 93rd Mechanized Brigade, said he struggled to eat after fighting in Bakhmut for months. And for 2 months, Volodymyr's unit was tasked with guarding Bakhmut against small Russian assault groups. The brigade was constantly under mortar fire as soldiers were outdoors where shrapnels could wound or kill them at any moment. And he said, the Russians keep firing at us, but we don't have artillery. We have nothing to attack them back with. I don't know if I will return or not. We are just getting killed. And there's an article I just saw on social media where the Pentagon is acknowledging that NATO's manufacturing capacity is not able to supply munitions to Ukraine as fast as Ukraine burns, uses them up. Yeah, so, even with all that money that's been showered all over Ukraine, it all comes down to logistics, and the logistics are going against us here. Now, Tucker Carlson has come on out and said what we've all known for a while here. He is predicting there will be a hot war with Russia and maybe China, and says that there will be wartime crushing of political dissent, which means all of us out here in the independent media are going to get shut down and shut off, and everybody's going to wave the flag and say, yes, we love war, and we love blood and carnage and poverty. So, we can all see what's coming here. And Tucker said, the may also be China as well. And so we'll see what's going to happen there. Now, Tucker Carlson also did something else that was rather interesting. He sent a message to all of the GOP presidential hopefuls as to what they thought about Ukraine. And Donald Trump called for peace in Europe, but not at any price. And he also called for regime change at home. I'm totally in favor of that. Now, Mike Pence supports the war in Ukraine in order to stop Russia's ambitions and promote our ambitions and to, warn China against being aggressive, but says it wouldn't be a blank check. DeSantis, of course, this is where he came on out saying, this is not our U.S. national interest to be in there in this territorial dispute. And pretty much the other GOP presidential hopefuls, Nikki Haley, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Asa Hutchinson, and Chris Sununu, did not respond to Tucker Carlson's message. So anyway, now, 12 years ago, in fact, 12 years ago, just yesterday, is the 12th anniversary of the war in Syria, which started with unrest, that may have been another color revolution, and it turned into a multinational standoff being fanned by the collective West. Now, Russia, of course, became involved, and that turned the table on the war, disrupting the attempts to isolate Damascus. And Russian President Putin and his Syrian counterpart Assad had talks yesterday. Assad is still at Syria's helm despite the collective West bid to replace him with a jihadi proxy during a bloody civil war which erupted 12 years ago. Remember all these people that were out there saying, Assad must go, Assad must go. And they're all gone now, and Assad is still there. Okay, up there in the Netherlands, the pro-farmers, they're dealing with this. We've got to take another break for commercials here, and we're going to be right back. I've got about 15 seconds to go. We're talking about this climate gate, woke thing where they want to shut down 3,000 farms in order to control nitrogen emissions. Now, I don't know when nitrogen became the bad guy, but that's what they're saying. More about this when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR. Fought under him.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about events in the Netherlands where the current globalist green government was out there saying that they were going to shut down 3,000 farms in order to control nitrogen emissions. And I don't even know why nitrogen is considered a problem. I mean, it's an inert gas. And the farmers have been protesting for a long time. They've parked their tractors and trucks, block roads and so forth. It turns out they also created their own political party, the Farmer Citizen Movement, and they ran their own candidates, and there was a surprise upset in yesterday's provincial elections. Okay, they trounced the incumbent government, all the globalist and green candidates. Had their clocks cleaned, and so good for them here. Okay, China's foreign minister is talking with his Ukrainian counterpart as Xi Jinping plans the trip coming to Moscow. If Xi Jinping can pull this off, it would certainly be wonderful, and it would basically say that China's now on top of the world. And I saw this article in the Washington Post earlier saying, gosh darn, China's trying to upset, the global order. The global order, as envisioned by the Washington Post, is the United States in control of everything. But that's coming apart. I mean, you've got countries turning away from the dollar. They're using their own indigenous currencies. You've got BRICS. You've got the Shanghai Cooperative Organization. You know, we're an empire in decline because we, rather than act as a good shepherd for the planet, we just plundered here, plundered there. We weaponized the dollar. We weaponized the International Monetary Fund, and rampant greed, not to mention stupidity, is why our nation is in decline here. Now, the U.S. Space Force is out there in the person of their Commander-in-Chief, General Chance Saltzman, and he's out there screaming that Beijing is a threat to U.S. operations because they're developing anti-satellite missiles, electronic jammers, lasers, and technology that can move rival orbiting platforms. And my goodness, it's going to be, you know, if we don't do anything, China will be the most powerful nation in space by 2045. Well, I don't know about that. As a side note, the United States has been developing these same capabilities going all the way back to Ronald Reagan and his Strategic Defense Initiative, otherwise known as Star Wars. And I remember when we were living in Hawaii, there was a news story there that an anti-satellite missile test was going to take place off to the northwest just past Kauai, and it knocked down an old unused satellite, and it did work. So, again, the U.S. is building all of this. And I think when World War III goes really hot, one of the first indicators is going to be a very interesting night sky. We're going to walk on out there, and we're going to see bits and pieces of space debris just coming on down in through the atmosphere like a major, you know, fireworks show. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. Now, the United States Army has come out with a new ad. They're sort of backing off the wokeness, and their new ad is reviving the old "be all you can be" slogan. They're trying to attract the deplorables they alienated with woke garbage and vax mandates to enlist, but they're running into a bit of trouble. Now, despite the ad being notably anti-woke when compared to current standards and trying to appeal to more traditional American values, the comments on the video are overwhelmingly negative. And some of the examples are, why would I want to fight for people who hate me? I'm never dying for people who hate me, never. Nobody in my neighborhood speaks English or flies the American flag. And just on and on like that. And The real problem is, of course, everybody knows we're heading into a major war. And in a major war, there is a real possibility of getting killed or losing significant parts of your body. And people are kind of reluctant to go along with that sort of thing. And, you know, yes, I'm going to go lose an arm and all that other good stuff here. And I think that's why recruitment is down. Now, one of the side effects of the current banking crisis is we may suddenly see a huge unemployed population of Americans who will be approached by the military recruiters who seize every opportunity to enlarge their ranks. I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit. And, you know, even before FEMA got there, military recruiters were down there saying, well, yes, you've lost your home. You've lost everything. We've got a place where you can hang out here. Just sign on this form and put on this uniform kind of thing. All righty. Now, getting into this is kind of interesting here. The governor of South Dakota has just vetoed a bill that would classify central bank digital currency as currency. In other words, the governor of South Dakota, Noam, is saying, no, currency is not the stuff that's running around in the computer under the government's control. It's a gimmick. It's a grab for power and control. And we want to have currency that you can put in your pocket and, if necessary, give to the homeless people out there. And there is a growing pushback against this idea of a central bank digital currency. Now, over in France, there have been massive protests over the possibility that the retirement age is going to be increased from 62 to 64. I mean, for those of us here in the U.S., that sounds like a sweet deal, even at 64. But the French are upset because they've basically been working their entire lives under a set of rules. And all of a sudden, the French government is saying, well, we're going to move the goalpost by 2 years. And there's a lot of opposition. And so apparently French President Macron decided he was not going to risk a vote in the French Parliament. He invoked a special constitutional power to simply declare the retirement age has gone from 62 to 64. And I'm sure the French people are going to be very, very angry about that. And probably some of the older families there still have a guillotine over in the back barn or something. And we just have to clean the rust off of it. And we're going to be good to go here. So we'll see what's happening. A lot of unrest around the world. And as I've said before, this push for a global government has created a political climate leading to global revolution. And my sympathies are with the revolutionaries. Let me put it that way here. All right. Now, Joe Biden is out there trying to salvage his career. And, you know, he doesn't want to talk about Afghanistan, doesn't want to talk about Ukraine, doesn't want to talk about the economy. He wants to talk about, you know, transgenderism and LGBTQ and equality for women. And he's once again been shown to be a hypocrite because a report has come on out showing that since 2021, he's been on this, equal pay for equal work thing. But apparently, over 36 years, Joe Biden paid his women employees less than he paid the men. So you're busted, Joe. Your pants are on fire. All right. Down on the border, we only have one story today, but it's a doozy. The Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz testified to Congress yesterday that the Department of Homeland Security does not have operational control of the U.S. southern border under Joe Biden. And this, of course, directly contradicts statements from the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, who's saying, yeah, the border is secure. There's no problem. And yeah, there's a few million illegal immigrants coming through. But it's really under control here. No, it isn't. let's see. Getting on to the Second Amendment and those kind of issues. Democrats wanted credit card companies to track the purchase of certain types of guns and ammunition because they hate the Constitution and the Second Amendment. And the credit card companies initially said, yes, we're going to have these special merchant tags on gun and ammo purchases. And the gun owners really pushed back on that and said, we're just going to pay for, with cash. And the credit card companies don't like that because if their, a transaction is done in cash, they don't get their piece of the action as an interest payment on that credit card. And so the credit card companies have now backed off and said, no, we're not going to track that. And so Democrats are out there saying, well, the Department of Justice, you've got to do something about all these guns out there. Now, Senators Lindsey Graham, John Kennedy, and John Cornyn held a press conference this morning to introduce the Respect for the Second Amendment Act. It's intended to codify Second Amendment rights for law-abiding citizens. Okay, and they're saying the bill's intent is to have the rights affirmed by the Supreme Court made part of the federal code, thus preventing a future Supreme Court from reversing the decision. And so Lindsey Graham is not on the wrong side all the time. Now, meanwhile, out in Montana, Attorney General Austin Knudsen is getting ready to sue the Biden administration over its recent gun violence executive order, saying the president should know better than to enact draconian gun control measures. Knudsen told Fox Digital his office is waiting for the Biden administration to act on its order. And at that point, they will file the lawsuit. And this is going to wind up, hopefully, before the Supreme Court. And, all this gun grabbing, as I said the other day, this country is falling apart. You just walk around, you can see it everywhere. It's falling apart. And the government is very much afraid of an awakened American people. Again, looking at the poll numbers regarding trust in the media, trust in the government. And so they're really in a rush to disarm the law-abiding American people in order to be able to control us, to turn us back into being slaves or subjects or whatever. And none of these gun control measures are going to reduce crime. The criminals don't obey the laws. You know, all you're going to do is turn guns into another piece of contraband that somebody will smuggle across the border and make huge amounts of money on. Okay, over at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, kind of interesting that Ohio has a place called Miami University. They are getting ready to become the first higher education institution to offer students emergency contraception on vending machines. Okay, now this machine will provide 24/7 access to the morning after pill at a discounted price that has not been announced. And this move follows the example of Boston University and George Washington University, which are already implementing programs to make the morning after pill available to people who don't take responsibility for their own sexuality. And, you know, this thankfully will reduce the demand for abortions. I'm not one of those people who thinks that whatever clump of cells happens the morning after sex, you know, needs to be preserved. But, when you go a couple of months there and it's a living human being, that's different here. Now, this whole thing about racism and sexism just gets sillier and sillier and sillier. And there's a story over in Station Gossip saying that one college professor is saying that cleaning your pantry is sexist and racist. I cannot even begin to imagine the rationale behind that statement. I didn't even bother reading the articles. It was that absurd here. All righty. Now then, over in Virginia, in the Fairfax County Public Schools, and they've been in trouble before, they basically have now banned white and Asian students from the college prep program, okay, in the name of equity, despite a sister school facing an attorney general probe for withholding merit awards to boost equity. Okay, I mean, they are pushing toward a socialist model here where nobody has to try and excel. In fact, you know, the nail that stands up gets hammered down. And, you know, we're having a nation that's basically, you know, in the hands of idiots at all levels here, including medical schools here. So anyway, the Virginia Attorney General has ordered the school to stop racial discrimination against Asian and white students in the college prep program. And we need to return to meritocracy. We want the best possible people going to college. We want the best possible people doing our medical care. We want the best possible people flying our airplanes and running our railroads. And we need the best possible people in the halls of Congress and the White House instead of this gerontocracy that is just listening to voices in their head and turning them into laws. All right. Out in Michigan, Governor Whitmer apparently used federal pandemic relief funds to create critical race theory and social justice courses for teachers. And this was apparently about $1.4 million and just took it out of the CARES fund and said, well, we're going to give you this money to the Michigan State University College of Education, the University of Michigan School of Education, and Michigan Virtual to create online social justice courses. So they're still pushing all of this CRT nonsense. Now, there was a very good article that came out of legalinsurrection.com. And it says, fighting against equity discrimination is the civil rights issue of our time. And they are absolutely correct. Now, the founder of the Equal Protection Project, a new initiative to battle racial discrimination in the workplace, believes fighting against equity discrimination is the civil rights issue of our time. And they want to do something about it. Okay, they don't want to have schools saying, well, you can't go here or you can't take this class because you're white or Asian, you know, because we need to boost, you know, the others here. Well, you know, there are a lot of black people who have done very well in school. by applying themselves, by being smart, being intelligent. And I think probably they don't like this equity nonsense at all, this affirmative action here, because when somebody sees a black person in a prominent position, you know, they're just going to say, ah, it's just an affirmative action hire, and completely negates the work that they went through to be where they are. And that's not fair to those black people who have achieved, who do have merit. Okay, Joe Rogan warned this week that equity and inclusiveness is the sheep costume the wolf is wearing to force people into submission. And yeah, that's absolutely right. This is a clash of ideologies that's going on. Meanwhile, down in Florida, the DeSantis-backed bill that would eliminate diversity, equity, and I forget what the I stands for, from Florida college curriculum has passed the House and is now going to the Senate. Meanwhile, DeSantis has launched an alliance with 18 other states to fight against Biden's woke ESG agenda. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials here, and we'll be back after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink if you gotta have proof. Just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about wokeness. We're talking about education. And higher education is kind of losing its luster with a lot of people. I mean, you know, when I went to college, it was there to get a career. I then found out that actually they were teaching me to be a college instructor rather than actually get a job in Hollywood. But usually you came out with skills that would help you have a better life, and now it's all indoctrination and everything. And there's an article out of Press TV. It says that one out of every five students at top United Kingdom universities are considering dropping out. Some feel suicidal. They're concerned about the cost of living crisis. And this is from the Russell Group Students Union, which did the research, represents 24 of the UK's most elite higher education institutions. And it suggests that more than 20% of the students at these universities are under intense pressure of soaring prices and being forced to quit their studies. And there were studies here in the U.S. that showed that people who ended their education with a high school degree and went into a trade school and became something like a plumber or an electrician, in the long run did economically better than the vast majority of students who go to college and get a degree in art history or something like that, are saddled with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt in student loans and spend, you know, the rest of their life trying to pay all of that off. All righty. Now, over in Arizona, presumed Governor Katie Hobbs just vetoed a piece of legislation that would have banned teaching critical race theory in schools in Arizona. And everybody's wondering why their governor would do such a thing. And the obvious answer is as a favor to the people who helped steal the election for her. Okay. Now, this is kind of a little weird. At Jericho Middle School, there's a teacher saying that tenured teachers and professors should be the ones promoting sexual child grooming because they have tenure and it's very, very difficult to fire them. You know, that's the beauty of tenure. So they're trying to say we need to be out there grooming the children in a way where we're not all losing our jobs here. Now, today, the Ninth Circuit affirmed a decision by a lower court in San Francisco that upheld a school district's ban on the wearing of American flags on a California high school campus during Cinco de Mayo, which is a Mexican holiday. Actually, if you read the letter of the law, you're not supposed to wear the American flag as an article of clothing at any time, anyway. You're not supposed to hold it horizontal like they do in all the football games. There is a very strict protocol on the correct way to treat the American flag. Okay, another story, and I absolutely agree with this. It's from Legal Insurrection. California should prioritize math and reading over ethnic studies. And they're looking at the dismal scores for literacy, and only one-third meet the standards for math. And, you know, Governor Newsom is saying, we need to get the students what they need to thrive. All right, we're going to take a break here for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be back with our...
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. one of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.